All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. We're just a bunch of Kiss fans, and we talk Kiss. So come along for the ride. You've got nothing to lose. All right, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. We are back. We are live. We are celebrating Kiss Asylum at 40. I actually had to buy a copy of the remaster, as I found I didn't have it any longer. So that was kind of interesting. And then I noticed on the back that they've got the wrong freaking date for the original release, which is 27 years late, too late to complain about something Kiss related. So we've got the full gang here to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Kiss Asylum. I did a midweek episode with Andy so that we could just look at the album from our personal memories as 14-year-olds, a different way of celebrating the album. And this album to me is worth two celebrations. It's like one of those freaking celebrities that has multiple weddings. That is Kiss Asylum for me. So we've got 69th Blizzard Ken. We've got Mark's Almighty Mark. Lonnie rolled in there, right? Just in time. How about Joe Burrow?
We're going to be delusional. We're going to rally around Jake Browning, and we will play good football.
And why not? Because you saw what Mac Jones did for the Niners, with Brock Purdy out. So anything is possible. Take these scraps from other teams and be delusional. We're Kiss fans. It's easy. And we got Wheeze Daniel. I want to take the opportunity to thank everyone who's joining us live. Mags, Ronnie Parker, Sylvie. Hey, Sylvie. Good to see you. Austin Newland. Justin Hell, Kiss Rocks 57, Keep It Greasy, Marco, Jeff, Corey Smith, Go Lions. What the heck? Well, we've thrown. We did say be delusional, so go Lions. All right. So we are celebrating Kiss Asylum at 40. This is going to be one of our refocused episodes where we do numbers. We're going to be looking at the production, the cohesion of the art, the packaging, the singles, and then we'll go song by song with a ranking determined by everyone's vote according to the melody, the lyrics, and their personal taste. And at the end of it, we will have a champion of champions, a purple headbanded song that wins and reigns supreme. And if we'll play some multimedia along the way, let's kick straight in to the album and, production and cohesiveness. Ken, where did this album fall for you on both of those elements?
Well, what did I do? I can't even remember. I think I have it here. Hold on here. Where'd it go? Okay. Yes. Production and cohesiveness. Production. Out of five, I gave it a three. It's actually decent production for a Paul Stanley production, though. Probably the best he's produced out of all of his attempts, I guess, with Kiss. It's not my favorite production on it, but I don't know what it is. It's something about it that is just not the kind of production I want, but it's not bad. It's not horrible. All right. Cohesiveness. Yeah. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I think it's pretty cohesive. Everything sounds, equal, in the type of songs for the most part, except for maybe one or two songs. Very cohesive album. It flows pretty well. Yeah. Pretty good.
Lonnie, what about you?
Production, I think it's fine. I gave it a 3 as well. It's not my favorite type of the way I want Kiss to sound, but it's better than some albums that Kiss sound on. So I gave it, a little more. I gave it a 3 out of 5, a little more than average. But as far as cohesiveness goes, I give it a 4 out of 5. I think that it flows very well. It does what it sounds like, and it, meshes the way they wanted it to sound. It achieved their goal for what they wanted this album to be.
Mark.
Well, this is going to be, for me, just, you know, there's difficult records and stuff like that, but for me, this is going to be an extremely simple record. This, again, touches my heartstrings. This record, to me, is my favorite non-makeup album. Production on this is a stellar 5 out of 5. There was no better record that they did in the 80s, production-wise, in my opinion, than this. This is absolutely spot on. Paul knew what the hell what needed to be out there. It's not so much what Kiss needed to sound like, it's what Kiss had to sound like at this time as well to make any sort of inroads at this time. Otherwise, they would have been mopped up and swept aside by the Rats and all those other bands, Dawkins of the time, who were much more looked at as current compared to a Kiss. And cohesiveness, this album is one of the rare albums where all the Gene songs are really good too, and they flow in nicely with everything. I give it a perfect 5 out of 5 as well for cohesiveness.
So you're going to be the Ken on this episode. Everything's going to be perfect.
Like live.
Perfect.
This is the Alive of the 80s. Okay.
Ooh.
That's a big statement.
You even put it ahead of Creatures and Lick It Up there. I mean, them some fighting words to some fans. Daniel, if you can muster the intellectual energy after your marathon podcast, the production, the cohesiveness for you.
The cohesiveness, well, I also gave it a 5. I especially enjoy this period between Lick It Up and Asylum, much because there are no ballads. Of course, there are ballady sounding stuff like, you know, A Million to One and stuff like that. But I do enjoy the three records that came out here in a row. And I think it's better than the previous record, because you had a few bad Gene tunes. The Gene tunes on this record are, I think, one of his best albums in the 80s. So very underappreciated, I would say. And production-wise, I can't give it a 5. I think the drums are a bit too far in the back. It should be, you know, further up front in the production. And also, I have a bit of a problem with the guitar sound. I know Mark will kill me when I say this, but there's something with that guitar sound that is kind of tiring for me. Mm-hmm. But I gave it a 4 for production, 5 for cohesiveness.
Yeah, I can't give it a 5 for production either. I mean, I love the grittiness. I love the rawness. It's got a certain amount of... I mean, it's like when you walk down a street in New York City and then look at your shoes. It's got that in terms of its audio. And it's great. But is it as sonically fantastic production-wise as Creatures of the Night? To me, no.
Well, no.
It's great. I love it. But I'm not going to give it perfection where I don't think perfection exists. But I do think it's probably Paul Stanley's best production work on a Kiss album. Mm. In terms of cohesiveness, I find it much improved over Animalize overall. But I do find that Paul Stanley has filler on this album, and we'll get into it when we talk about the songs. It's definitely an improvement over Animalize, mostly for Gene, because mm-hmm. Paul is in his prime here. He's delivering at a very high level for the most part. But again, as I notice, I don't think the cohesion is wholly there. I gave it 3.5. Again, decimals in to break ties because I just can't go whole numbers. I'm just not capable. So that's the next question. Is it an improvement over Animalize? And I just want to, you know, start off our multimedia today with one of the outtakes that Daniel demanded I prepare for the show. And this is one of the few songs that's assumed to be from the Asylum sessions. A lot of them that are called Asylum demos have nothing to do with the album. They date from 83. Some are even from 78. I've just begun to fight the original version of that. And we won't take it anymore. But here's one with vocals. Nobody's Perfect. Fire! All right, he went back to rotten to the core again, back to 76 on that. There's, I haven't found any great sounding versions of that demo, sadly, and that was one of the things I missed the most on the vault. So Ken, improvement over Animalize.
Yeah, I think it's a slight, I would call it a slight improvement over Animalize. Animalize was better than we, I think. Even better than I think, and the production and the song quality. Yeah, there's some filler on that one, of course. Yeah, there's genes at the end of the album, but it's just a slight. I only like it better a little bit, like that much more than Animalize.
Daniel,
I would take it post Animalize songs over the Asylum songs, actually. Even though I love King of the Mountain, but stuff like Raider for Love, and I think there's another one that I don't even remember the name of it. But there are two Paul songs on the Asylum album that I think are way worse than anything he did on Animalize. So that's not an improvement, but it's all about the gene improvement. It goes from a 1-star to a 5-star on this album, and that means that this is a better album all in all, even though there's no Heavens on Fire or I've Had Enough into the Fire and stuff like that, even though King of the Mountain is a cool song. And Tears Are Falling, of course, is beautiful.
Mark, is there any point asking you if this is an improvement over Animalize?
Well, I mean, I think that Paul's songs on Animalize are good. Obviously, they were very good songs on there. But I think that, in my opinion, of course, and I know everyone's going to keep laughing at my opinion, but whatever, screw you guys. The fact is that I think they're equal in good. I think Paul's songs on this are good. I mean, you're telling me Tears Are Falling, you know, Who Wants to Be Lonely, and all these other songs are not as good. You're insane if you don't think that. So, and Gene's songs are way better than the Animalize ones. The Animalize ones are just complete crap. Okay, so of course it's a much better album. Everything about this album is better than Animalize, in my opinion.
Lonnie,
I wouldn't say everything on this album is better than Animalize, but I think that it is slightly better than Animalize. I'm going to agree with Ken that it gets a little more rotation from me than Animalize, but not a great deal more.
That's a fun little EP, giving some credit to Jean Beauvoir for his work on the album. Is it Paul Stanley's best production work? I made that claim. Lonnie?
Yeah, I think you could argue that. I think that's very fair that it's Paul's best production work when you look at the entire body as a whole. I mean, including Sonic Boom and Monster and that. I think that's fair. I'll agree with you on that.
Oh God, if Sonic Boom had the audio qualities of Asylum,
right?
People would hear it with a different set of ears. Ken,
what was the question?
What is your name? Attention.
Yeah. Is it? Do you think it's Paul Stanley's best production work?
Yeah, I did say that earlier. I think it's his best production work because. But it's not a lot. It's not a lot better than some of his other. It's not the ultimate production work for him, even though it's his best. It could be a lot better.
Mark,
yeah, I think it is his best production work. I mean, Sonic Boom is terrible, and Monster is horrendous, and those records are not good at all. I mean, what are you going to compare it to, really? I mean, and you got to give, what's that?
Destroyer?
He didn't produce that. He had nothing to do with that record.
Don't open that can of worms.
And in any case, you got to, you know, I'd like to see how good people make, other people who would make records who actually have one ear and can only hear in mono. I mean, I think that in a sense gives them a little bit of a handicap as far as production and stuff goes, and I think he did a good job considering. So,
Daniel,
I think it's a fair point that this is his best production, but personally, I actually prefer Animalize over Asylum when it comes to how the album sounds. But they play more like a band on Asylum, It's so evident on Animalize that they are using a hired gun for the solos. I mean, it's not cohesive with the rest of the album, I think, at times. But I actually prefer the sound of Animalize slightly, but it's a good-sounding record.
All right, so let's open up a can of whoop-ass and talk about the cover art. This is probably one of the most divisive elements to the Kiss Asylum album, is people bitching about Eric Carr's chin being cut off, the color scheme, you know, reusing the aura colors as the lipstick. The rear cover, of course, also is about as 1980s as you can potentially get. Ken, how do you rank this wonderful cover art, which I find vividly attractive?
Oh, really? Cover art packaging, I gave it a 1 out of 5. I even remember going to, on the release day of this album, it was like a Tuesday, I believe, and going to the record store, knowing it was coming out, but I don't think I had seen the cover yet. And then I saw this god-awful, you know, cover. And I thought, oh, I was like, what the hell? Yeah, it's just like, took me like, this is not a pleasing looking cover for Kiss. It's not a cover I would expect them to do. Except if they did this on, of course, Dynasty, it would have made more, you know, made sense with the makeup. This is, it doesn't make sense. The only thing I like to touch about it is the, you know, the call back to the colors of each member's colors, with the, you know, purple, red, blue, and green. I thought that was a nice little touch. That's still only green on the cover, isn't it? Oh, except for the kind of the final. But anyway, I don't like it. It's one of their worst covers out there.
Lonnie.
I gave it a 2 out of 5, just slightly better. I don't like it either. And you know, people shop with their eyes just as much as they shop with their ears. And when I was, you know, getting into Kiss at a young age, and I was, you know, collecting the back catalog, this was one of the last ones that I bought, because I just, it didn't do anything for me just by looking at it, you know, like, oh, I think I'll get a even Crazy Nights, like, that looks cooler than this. I'll buy that today. And I'll wait a couple weeks on Asylum when I have, you know, a little more cash or whatever. I had Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits, so I knew Tears Are Falling, but I didn't really know anything else really on the album, and the cover art wasn't popping out to me. So it was a, I'll wait and get that one. So, I mean, I gave it a 2, and I could have gave it a 1 with Ken. I don't care for it at all.
Mark.
I know I didn't give this a 5, because I don't think it is a perfect album cover, far from it, obviously. But, I mean, you know, I do like the tip of the hat to the solo album colors. I think that was kind of a neat thing to do. I mean, if you take away the sort of neon coloring to it all and just leave it as a photo with them as it was, it's like any other kind of kit. Like Dynasty was a kind of the same thing, you know, just 4 portraits of them and stuff. I mean, let's face it, most Kiss album covers, for the exception of maybe the Ken Kelly ones and stuff, they're not exactly the most, you know, thought out brilliant album covers, you know. But I don't know. It's okay. I mean, to me, this album overall has just a strong connection to me for several reasons. So I would never give this a 1, but I wouldn't give it a 5 either. I think I gave it a 3.5, I think, or something like that.
3.
There you go. So yeah, I mean, it's not horrendous. It's, you know, but it's certainly not the best.
And Daniel also gave it a 3.
Yeah, I think it's an okay cover. Nothing special, nothing fancy. But I always liked cartoons, and I think it was great they went for the, you know, cartoony feel on this one a little bit. Mm-hmm. Especially on the back there, I think it looks pretty cool. And as a youngster, I certainly like the cartoonish feel of this cover. So it's sort of a tip of the hat to the 70s album where they went all the way and made themselves, you know, superheroes. And also, like the others mentioned, the coloring of the lips was a pretty cool thing that I really didn't get when I saw it at first, but later on I got it. And the what do you say, typography of the word asylum is kind of generic. They could have come up with something cooler. There's no cool C like in Animal Eyes. But it's okay. 3.
Yeah, I gave it a 2. I mean, I kind of consider, I never thought about it at the time because, I mean, I was buying albums like Invasion of Your Privacy, Theater of Pain, you know, Under Lock and Key and stuff like that. So it was just the album cover didn't mean anything to me. The music did. You know, looking back at it, I think it's marginally better than Animal Eyes. It's marginally better than Music from the Elder, as noted by Colin. It's better than Revenge, which, you know, all of those just bespeak zero effort whatsoever. This at least has effort. So, and end of the day, it's the music, and that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. All right, single selection. And just as part of this, you know, there were various singles released depending on where you were in the world, at least physical. In the U.S., there was only a single released, and that was only their second ever picture sleeve for the U.S. market, but they did 3 videos. So before going into just the brief section about the singles, let's play a little recap of the videos. I still love that stage. I like this set too. Ken, singles.
Well, singles, if we consider all 3 singles, I gave it a 2 out of 5. I mean, I think Tears Are Falling. Tears Are Falling should definitely be the single. I agree with that. But I think they should have, other than those other couple songs, I think they should have went with, instead of like All Night, for instance, I would have liked to have seen Trial by Fire as a single. I think it's a good positive song and you know, it's pretty catchy. So I think it should have been a Gene one there. That's all.
Lonnie.
I gave it a 4 out of 5. You know, Tears Are Falling is great. And so same with Who Wants to Be Lonely. And Our Night is fun. I gave it a 4 instead of 5, just slightly, because I probably would have went with King of the Mountain instead of All Night. But Our Night is still fine. So 4 out of 5.
Mark.
These are perfect. 5. No way other to look at it than that, because though every single one of those songs, people, I even just watching you guys now, everybody was into it, getting into it. You know, these are catchy, upbeat songs. You know, I mean, Trial by Fire is a great song too, but it just doesn't have the same energy. There's no way around that. I mean, if you want to have a single, you want to have something that's going to be upbeat and keeping your focus, you know, and attention. And those videos are great. This was the Paul Stanley BC Rich era when he was every guitar that BC Rich possibly had in their collection, he had one of, you know, the Warlocks, the Bitches, the all kinds of different models that they had at the time, and all those fantastic different color schemes that he had with them, you know, and of course Kulik with the ESPs at the time. That this was like a guitar player's, you know, dream, these kind of videos, because those guitars were so 80s and so flashy and in your face. And I've always loved that purple ESP that Bruce had with the painted swirls around the edge. They're fantastic stuff, and it just complemented the you know, the brashness of that video. Like, it's so in your face, everything bright colors and girls, you know undulating in showers and stuff, you know, stuff like that. Like, it's just, it's fantastic. I think they couldn't have did any better.
Yeah, that purple, yes, guitar, he did a custom, right. Thank you, sir. He did a custom run of that a few years ago, and I missed out on that. I also missed out on the banana guitar, which I really wanted to get one of those. Daniel, the single selection.
4 out of 5. Much like Lonnie, I would have liked to see a video for King of the Mountain, which is probably my favorite tune from this album. So I really missed that, even though the three they went with were very good as well. And it would have been interesting, as Ken mentioned, to have a Gene song as a single. I'm not sure I would pick the one that Ken picked, but would it be you know, a change of pace, sort of something a bit from left field, a little different? Because I feel that they're pretty similar. Like, the videos are very similar for Ooh, All Night and Who Wants to Be Lonely, and the songs are, you know, somewhat similar. It could have been cool with a Gene song this time around, but 4 out of 5.
Ken, what Gene song did you say should have been a single?
Well, I said Trial by Fire, but I would have maybe even went with Any Way You Slice It or Secretly Cruel. I don't know. It really doesn't matter. I think they just should have tried a different approach, you know.
Yeah, and I agree. I think All Night shouldn't have been a single or a video. I really think this was one of the best opportunities for Gene to have a single post, you know, Creatures of the Night. And I would have gone with Secretly Cruel or Love's a Deadly Weapon for mine. I think that would have been the perfect song to replace with a Gene song. But then again, my opinion doesn't matter, and this album was released 40 years ago. So we obviously all like it. Just to recap the production side of this conversation, Mark gave this the most, 54 points out of a, what is it, possible 60, I think, followed by Daniel on 48 points. Lonnie and I are tied, giving it 39, and Ken is down at the bottom, things put it down at the bottom of the barrel.
Dead last.
But you know what? The album does surprisingly well. Let's get into the songs. Songs are all going to be ranked according to lyrics, melody, times, taste. That's how we do it. So going straight into the countdown, get my paper out. In 10th place, the least popular song by this panel on Kiss Asylum on 47 points. And that is substantially, definitively, beyond any argument, the least popular song on this album. It's not a Gene song. Radar for Love.
Yeah.
Ken.
Yeah. I do not like this song. I think the first time I heard it, I didn't like it, really. And I knew it was a blatant try to have some Led Zeppelin riffs in it. And so on. And I didn't want to listen to Led Zeppelin. I wanted to listen to Kiss. I just think it was a definite filler of a song for Paul. He loved Led Zeppelin and all that, but it's just a ridiculous song. Ridiculous, ridiculous lyrics. Melody's no good. I don't, taste wise, I gave it a 2 out of 3. And usually I give 3 for most of everything, but I only get a total score of 6 for that. Oh, out of what, 30 or
Yeah.
Yeah, out of 30.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you savaged it like an angry ferret. And yeah, imagine doing this like during the height of Metallica or Slayer. Well, it wasn't the height of Metallica or Slayer yet. What's Rain and Blood? Is that 85 or 86? And Ride the Lightning was 84, and I think Master was 86. So nowhere near the heights yet. But, yeah. Lonnie, Radar or Love?
I'm close behind, close with Ken. I ended up giving it an 8. So, lyrics 2 out of 5, melody 2 out of 5, and taste I just gave it a 2. I mean, it's very forgettable. It's filler of filler. It really is just the definition of filler, no doubt about it. So 8 out of 30 for me for Radar for Love.
That's a great comment by Ian. Thank you, Ian. It wasn't great when the music was just a ton of fun and you got to see your favorite bands. Bad cover or not, it was part of the times and it was great. And you know what? Hell yeah. I'm here because of Kiss Asylum. That's the only reason I'm a Kiss fan is that album. So, Mark, Radar for Love.
Yeah, I didn't give this a perfect score. I don't think it is one of his strongest songs. Can you remind me, Julian, what I gave this? I don't remember offhand.
Let's gander on over Mark's score. You gave it 13 out of 30.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's not very good. I mean, look, the way I look at an album like this is that in the grand scheme of the whole record, I would never skip it. It's part of the thing. It has a flow to the record, has a flow to it. Where it sits and where it is placed, yeah, I'm perfectly fine for it. If you were to take some of these songs, pull them out, and just listen to them separately, individually, yeah, it's not that great a song. But within the context of the record, I think it's still a decent song. It fits with it, hence the cohesiveness that I gave it earlier of a 5. But it is very... showing his influences a little too strongly on this song. And, you know, sure, it could have been better, but I mean, you know, I think Paul can be allowed to have a song like this. I mean, we always have to suffer with Gene having like all of his songs being this poor. So at least, you know, we only get one or two like that with Paul every once in a while. So you can cut him some slack.
Yeah, well, it's buried in the dead zone as the penultimate song on the side too. So yeah. Daniel.
Yeah, I gave it 10 points. I ranked it the lowest on the album. If Paul really wanted to show off, you know, his vocals, like he's trying this one, he should pick a different song. And if he wanted to show his influences, why didn't they play something like Whole Lotta Love, make a cover out of that? Because when they went on tour, I'm sure Paul felt that Radar for Love was not good enough to play live, and instead they went with a Led Zeppelin song, Whole Lotta Love. I would have re-recorded Whole Lotta Love for the album and leave Radar for Love off the album, and that could have been a real cool cover to, you know, change pace on the album and have a cool Kiss cover, because it was quite some time since they did a cool cover. So I would like them to do that. So this is buried at the bottom of our ranking, and I understand why.
Yet on this tour, they did Won't Get Fooled Again, and I haven't brought any audio for that today because Bruce has previously shared some fantastic audio from the soundboard of that song being performed, so check that out on Bruce's socials and elsewhere. Yeah, I didn't rank this highly. Mark ranked this the highest out of all of us. I gave it 12 points, you know, and part of my criticisms of it is I consider this filler. Even though I still say it's fun. It's fun filler. It's perfectly fine. It's, you know, kind of Black Dog-ish. It's fine for what it is. Steal from the best, as Paul would say. But I would never skip it. It just ended up at the bottom of my list. So there we go. Yeah. All right. In ninth place on 83.3 points, I'm Alive. Mm-hmm. Wow. Bottom of the album. Isn't that interesting, Ken?
You're muted, Ken.
Try again.
Typical Ken.
I was going to say, yeah, that's my second to last also on my list. I'm Alive. Lyrics are just, you know, good. Okay, 3 out of 5. Melody, I don't get a lot of melody or anything on that, so 2 out of 5. And my taste is, this is not the type of music I want to hear. Paul writing, or even even so for the most part, Gene, but you know, so I give it a 2 on tastes because I think it was just a song to try to be like some of these other bands who were playing that type of music at the time, the hard rock British Invasion or whatever, where they had these up-paced type songs. So I think those type of songs really didn't suit Kiss. It wasn't really their style. So I never really liked this song.
Lonnie.
I gave it good scores. I enjoyed this one. It's upbeat and it's a positive message, and I enjoy songs like that. So lyric wise, I gave it a 4. I enjoy just I enjoyed the positive energy out of it and the message that the song delivered. So I gave it 4. And melody, I gave it a 3. I think it's good. It's not great. And taste, I gave it a 3 also. I ended up with 21 points for I'm Alive. I enjoy songs like that are uplifting and just motivational. And I'm Alive falls right into that category for me.
Yeah, there's 3 of us, Lonnie, who kind of vote for it similarly. You know, you, me, and Mark are clearly on the same kind of page with this. I think it's stupid but fun. It's got a strong chorus. It's very Van Halen-ish. It's like King of the Mountain's little brother. But it does tend just ever so slightly into that filler territory for me, which is I gave it 19.8. Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I can maybe understand what Ken doesn't like about it, because at this period, Kiss had one of these on every album. You know, Into the Fire, I've Had Enough is like this. You know, every album has one kind of like double kick, very fast song on it, you know. And I think mainly why Paul did that was, once again, to not stand out like a sore thumb being a dinosaur band. They wanted to be something that's kind of current and up to date, you know, and a lot of these bands were doing these kind of double kick fast songs. So they needed to have something like that too. Otherwise they would look like, you know, clearly out of step with what was going on. Right. Is that Paul's strong position as a writer? No, probably not. He's probably more strongly suited for writing songs like Love Gun and stuff like that, which is a little bit more melodic, but I still enjoy the song very much. I mean, I think that it fits in with the record good. I agree with Lonnie and Julian that there's a good positivity to it as well. That's, you know, that could be good to have on a record too, right? And I just think that it fits well. Is it his strongest song on the record? Far from it, but I still think it's pretty good. And again, I think Paul, when he writes songs, and especially from the producer's end of stuff, I think he very much thinks about what's happening around him, not just in Kiss, but the world around him musically.
Yeah, so it's really far down the list because of Ken and Daniel. Daniel?
I have to agree with what Lana said. I like the lyrics. I gave it 4 out of 5 for the lyrics. But other than that, there's not a whole lot I like in this song, so it ended up with only 14 points. Mark, you mentioned they did one of these tunes on the mid-80s albums, but if you compare this one with I've Had Enough, Into the Fire, and Under the Gun, I think this is way worse than those two.
I'm not saying it's as good. I'm just saying they're similar.
Yeah, they are similar, but he has somewhat dropped the ball on this one, I think. It's not really as good as on the previous albums. Even though the lyrics are great, it can't match the tunes from Animalize and Lick It Up. So 14 points from me.
All right, so the scores start scaling up now for songs, and we finally get an appearance of Gene on our list. And in 8th place, on 89.25 points, Love's a Deadly Weapon. If you're going to steal from the best. But here, Gene's stealing from The Elder and The Plasmatics. And to me, that's what's wrong with it. It is a decent song, but he borrowed too much. And it's a hodgepodge, and there's elements that I hear later repeated on Modern Day Delilah, but Bruce shines. Ken, I just attacked Gene. Yeah,
throw it that's out. That's okay. I think that what you just said about the hodgepodge, I think that's what makes this song interesting to me. I enjoy it, even though, again, this is one of those fast-paced ones, and I really would not prefer that, especially from Kiss or Gene. but you know, or Paul, but I enjoy it. I mean, the lyrics are, you know, just okay, whatever. I like the melody. I like what I like about it is the riffs that are in it. I really enjoy the riffs, and Gene's vocals are just awesome on this song. Really, really good. So I really enjoy it. So I gave it 21 points.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you on Gene's vocals on this album. They're very good. Lonnie.
I really enjoy Love's a Deadly Weapon. It's a really upbeat, really fast song from Gene. And Gene sounds great on it. So lyric-wise, I gave it a 3. The lyrics are fine. Love's a Deadly Weapon. I mean, is there a better title for a Gene Simmons song than Love's a Deadly Weapon? Like, Gene just hears a phrase that he likes, like, oh, I'm going to write a song called that. And mm-hmm. Love's a Deadly Weapon is just a perfect example of that. But melody-wise, I gave it a 4. I think it's a great way to kick off side 2 with the drums and the rhythm to it. So I give it a 4. And taste-wise, I give it a 3. I enjoy it. So ended up with 21 for this one also. It's a good song.
Now, Mark, how about you?
Can you tell me what I gave this score on this one?
Come on, Mark.
Oh, can I tell you what you did for your homework? What song are we talking about? Oh, yeah, Love's a Deadly Weapon. You gave it 13, so you ranked the lowest of all of us.
And I'll tell you why.
Asylum.
I'll tell you why. I mean, again, in the concept, in the grand scheme of this album, it fits perfectly fine on this record. Again, and like, again, I'm sure we'll all agree with this too. Even in the records that we love, there's always got to be songs at the bottom, no matter how great the record is. So there always has to be something near the bottom. But the thing with this song, but the thing for this song, though, I have to say is that it suffers from the same thing we were just criticizing Paul with. It has that stereotypical double kick thing going on and stuff like that. And Gene sings great on this, but the thing that ruined this song for me is I heard the demo of this song, the one that was done earlier, the elder one, way more catchier, way more. And I think Gene ruined the chorus on this song. The original version of the chorus was much more catchier. This one is just so paint by numbers. This version of it, it's really a step back. If they would have kept the original arrangement of this song and did it that way, I thought it would have stood out way better in my opinion. I think that other than that, I think Gene sings amazingly good on this record overall. I have no issues with his singing whatsoever, but I just think the arrangement of this was done a disservice. That's all.
Daniel.
Well, I agree with a lot that Ken and Lonnie said. I love the vocals on this one. I think it's a bit similar to other fast songs on 80s albums by Gene, like one of my favorites, Fits Like a Glove. So you always need a Fits Like a Glove on these 80s albums. Gene really sounds mean on this one. When I'm listening to this one, I'm not imagining Gene in that silly red dress. I'm seeing, you know, like Creatures of the Night era Gene singing this one. And then it gets a whole lot cooler. So this is a great song for me. I gave it 24 points.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up in seventh place, let's go to the demo from the Asylum Sessions. I think this demo dates from about 1983.
Yeah.
So in seventh place.
Can I just add? I have to add one more thing that just hit me. The main riff is really cool, and it's very similar to like All American Man or Burn with Deep Purple. If you listen carefully, there was just a quickie there.
Mm.
Yeah, so Max, no Vinny on that. He was way out of the picture. But so 96.3 points for Any Way You Slice It. Ken, get us started, please.
Yeah, out of all the Gene songs on this album, it's my least favorite. Lyrics are your standard Gene kind of lyrics, so 3 out of 5. Melody, 3 out of 5. Taste, 3. So I gave it an 18. I just think it's, I don't know what it is about the song. It's not a bad song. I enjoy it, but it's not as good as these other Gene ones on the record. I think it could have been a little bit better, or you know,
Lonnie, we thought out a little bit. This one,
I was not. I don't enjoy this one very much. it's near the bottom of my list for Asylum. Anyway, it's not memorable, really. It doesn't really stand out for me. And it lyrics wise, I gave it a 3 out of 5. I mean, they're fine lyrics. They're typical Gene lyrics. Melody is just 3 out of 5, just kind of middle of the road again. And taste, I just gave it a 2 instead of a 3. And that's what skews it more than anything, because it's not a song that I'm just like skipping ahead to hear, or a song that sticks with me after I listen to it. So I end up with a 12 for Any Way You Slice It.
That's all right. Mark's going to make the score right. Mark?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when I first heard this song, I was absolutely in shock. A good Gene song. I couldn't believe it. It was like right after King of the Mountain, which is such a great opener. And I think that it also benefits from that. You're coming off of the high of King of the Mountain, and all of a sudden, you know, this song starts. And I think the opening riff is actually pretty good. I mean, yeah, sure, it's not the most memorable song in the world, but I think that it actually kept the momentum going. Again, I look at this record as a whole more than the individual sum of the parts of it. I think that it fits perfectly well in that position. And a funny thing, and I'll make this very, very quick, back in the early 90s when I had one of my first bands and we were doing a demo at the studio, we had to come up with an ending to the song. And for whatever reason, this song came into my mind, and we did the exact same thing that they did with that blues thing at the end of it completely robbed it from this song and put it into one of our songs. And so I mean, it was memorable enough for me to remember at least that part of it, just to put it into one of my own songs. But I think it's fine. I mean, I think I gave it a 24, I think, or something like that. So to me, it's not a bad song. I mean, it's a shockingly good Gene song.
Yeah, so once again, you did vote the highest of all of us on this. Daniel and I nearly agree identically. So, Daniel.
Are we still talking about Any Way You Slice It?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think I said my part, didn't I?
Have I lost track of where I'm at? Well,
I think so.
No, there we go. So
I think you did.
I don't think this song is particularly blenderized as far as Gene songs go, but on the album version, there's a really weird musical effect, like some low frequency squeal going on that I really find appealing musically to it and what it brings to the composition. Any Way You Slice It, another song that was performed live only, so far as we know, at the first show, but that's the only one that we have. So here's some of Any Way You Slice It live.
Any way you slice it. Yeah.
is some any way you slice it, from Little Rock, Arkansas, 1985. All right, moving on into sixth place. Now over 100 points now. Secretly Cruel. Gene's doing pretty well today, surprisingly. Ken, get us started on Secretly Cruel and your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I like Secretly Cruel. Lyrics are, you know, again, they're standard lyric. Nothing great about it. Nothing horrible. The melody, I gave it a 5 out of 5 for that. I enjoy it. And my taste, this is the type of stuff I want, you know, Gene to be writing or Kiss to be doing. So I got it at 24. It's a good song.
What song are we on? Oh, yeah, Secretly Cruel.
Secretly Cruel.
I don't enjoy this one. I rank this one maybe pretty darn low. It's forgettable again, kind of like some other songs on here, like Any Way You Slice It to Me. The song is just forgettable for me. Lyrics, I just gave it a 2. I mean, I think about the song, I can't even remember the lyrics sometimes. I can't remember the verses. I mean, it's not memorable to me. Melody, I gave it a 3. It's okay. And taste, I gave it a 2. It's just middle of the road. Just not a song that I'm skipping ahead for or that I'm singing along with the rest of the day. It's fine. I know you guys have been on here talking about how great some of these Gene songs are, and I'm kind of looking back. I'm like, really? So no, I ended up with 10. At 10 points, it's not one of my favorites at all.
Three of us voted the same scores on this one. So, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't mind this song. I mean, I don't think I put it too low on this one. I think I put another 24. I think, if memory serves.
24.
Me.
You, Ken, I mean, and Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. I mean, I think again that he definitely put a little bit more focus on this. I mean, I respect Lonnie and you know, his taste of music. He's very much one of these guys that's held stern with his stuff. So when he says he loves Come On and Love Me, he doesn't change his opinion 7 months from now on it. He's very solid on that. So I respect that part of it. But, you know, I think, though, compared to some of other Gene's songs, this to me seems a bit more better. Maybe it's just not in Lonnie's maybe he just doesn't connect with the lyrics or something like that, like he said earlier. Maybe it's not something that he finds appealing. But I mean, I've had to suffer through so many bad Gene songs on records. I mean,
wait a minute.
This is somewhat of a treat to somewhat have a slightly better, you know, writing arrangement here and somewhat of a better lyrical content. You know, I mean, it's not great, but it's not no log in the fireplace and shit like that. It's actually somewhat to thought out a bit better. So hats off to Gene for putting a bit more effort into his usual nonsense that he puts out.
Or Paul allowing a better Gene song to be on an album.
So Ken, for Kai's benefit, was that the Canadian copy you were flashing again with its very cool alternative center ring?
That was. It is.
Yeah,
it is.
They had a very nice run of center rings for Asylum, Lick It Up. Creatures had a slight different one as
There's even a rarer one than that. There's a navy blue one like that. That's even more rare.
Yep. Yep. Oh, navy blue. White or silver type lettering on it.
On Asylum? On Asylum?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, another variety to hunt down.
Oh, I got that one.
There you go.
Yep.
Daniel?
Yeah, I kind of like the lyrics, you know, the stuff about he talks about snake skin boots and pictures hanging on her wall. He's kind of telling a story for once. Then he goes off the rails after a bit. But that first verse is kind of cool and sets the tone for the song. And if you the riff, it's a very cool riff. The intro of the song really sounds a whole lot like what's that song, Mr. Speed? Down. The first thing he does there is like an homage to Mr. Speed, and I like those, you know. And some of the lyrics on this album, I know in one of the previous songs he sang "Burning Up with Fever," that's an old Gene tune, and "Hornets Nest, I think he reuses. It was on Lick It Up. So, but that's nothing new for Gene. He's just forgotten that he's used them once and he's using them again. But
he doesn't care that he's used them.
Maybe that's the truth. Cool riff. And on this album, Gene's vocals are great, great, great. I love the kind of mix between soft and mean Gene that he does on this song. Very cool. So I think I gave it over 20 points, 21 points or something
24.
Like that. 24, yeah. Okay.
Nice. Yeah, so Grimfact, thank you. The obligatory shout-out for Double Virgo's version, which gave me a new appreciation of it. It's still up on YouTube. It's so fun. It remains fun to this day. Double Virgo, we celebrate you today as well for that wonderful cover that you did a long time ago that we're still talking about. You know, this song is not terrible. It's one of Gene's better ones. It's got a strong bass line that keeps plodding along. It needs more cowbell. It's very always decent, but here's another opportunity for some gratuitous multimedia. Here's the demo.
Yeah.
I think he pitched that to Heavy Patton in 83. All right, moving on into fifth place on 118.5 points. It's here. Trial by Fire. Get us started, Ken.
I really love the song. Excuse me. It's actually a 4 out of 5 on lyrics because, you know, they are positive, uplifting kind of lyrics that has a good message. So definitely 4 out of 5 on that melody. I like the melody a lot. 5 out of 5, and it fits right in with my taste at 3 out of 3. So I give it 27. One of the, you know, best songs of Gene on the album.
Yep, Lonnie, what about you?
Yeah, I was pretty positive about this one too. Again, like Ken said, you know, I like the lyrics, positive message. You know, it's kind of my go-to songs that I like. I gave it lyrics. I gave it a 4. Melody gave it a 3. You know, it's good. And Taste ended up with a 3 also. I enjoyed the song, so I ended up with 21 for this one. You know, it's definitely one of the better Gene songs on the album.
Mark.
Yeah, this song is shockingly good. I really enjoy his vocals on this. He did a great job. I sometimes wonder on this record if something happened. Like, did Paul sit him down and say, "Listen, Gene, I'm not putting any more of your garbage on. Put something good and I'm going to put it on." Or did maybe something happen where he had a new love in his life? You know, sometimes when some new love affair comes into someone's life, they get really motivated and write spectacular music. Maybe that could have been something that happened. But because this song is really good. I love his singing in this. Great melodies on this. I love the way he constructed some of the gang vocals in there too with this. It's really well done. And for, you know, Gene usually has a tendency to write, you know, the sort of, you know, hand to the forehead sort of lyrics. Well, this is a little bit more well thought out and a little bit better message, positivity in this. So I think it's great.
Yeah, we've got a great conversation going on in the chat about the lyrics and how great they are. But that was what Andy called out, you know, the other day when we talked about this album, was what the lyrics meant to him on this. And for me, this is Gene's potentially strongest on the album and would have been single worthy. So well done, Gene. It's what did my notes say? Good vibe, good pace, solid mid 80s. So Daniel.
Yeah, I gave it a high score as well. I think he gave it 24 points. Shockingly good Gene Simmons lyrics, I would say. I don't know how much it had to do with the lyrics, but it's like his King of the Mountain, very uplifting without getting totally ridiculous. So I enjoy the lyrics, and it's a good song. And another gem from Gene on this album, and he's getting a lot of points all over from the panel. I like it because he hasn't been really high on other 80s albums that we've talked about. So good for him.
Yep. So originally called Live Fast, Die Young. Yeah. The demo for this turned up on The Vault. So let's just hear a little bit of that.
Yeah, but it's good they changed the title, a terrible title for a Kiss album. Just real quick, I have to say, I had a good friend that passed on, you know, way too early, and I went out and drove my car, and this was the album I popped into the CD player when I was sad, because it's such an uplifting album, each and every song. So I think it's very underappreciated as an album. I just want to say that the lyrics and the vibe of this album is great.
Hmm. Well, it's not surprising we're into the top four. And
are you alive over there, Mark? Or what's
right,
Mark.
You're right over there.
I'm alive.
Yeah.
All right, so in fourth place on 122.4 points, All Night, Ken.
All Night. Yeah, I give it a 4 out of 5 on lyrics, surprisingly. I don't know why. It's All Night. But anyway, melody, good melody. Pretty good melody, that is. And my taste is 3. So I give it 21. It's Yeah, it's one of the better songs, obviously, on the album.
Lonnie.
Yeah, they're total tongue-in-cheek Kiss lyrics, but they're fun tongue-in-cheek Kiss lyrics. So I gave the lyrics a 4, and the melody I gave it a 4. It's kind of a little catchy little melody and little riff to it. So I gave it a 4 and 3 for taste as well. It's a fun song. So I ended up with 24 for this one. So it's a good one.
Mark, you gave this perfect points.
Wow, Mark.
Absolutely. This is Paul Stanley at his finest. The riff is great. The vocals are fantastic. All the backing vocals are great. Gene's bass playing on there, if that's him playing, I think it is. I think it's great on this as well. Everything on here, everything is great. I mean, you know, it's a perfect Paul song. I mean, and if it isn't Gene on bass, that just goes to show, though, that, you know, Paul can make a great song even without Gene's involvement on bass.
On bass.
Jean Beauvoir.
There you go.
Daniel.
Yeah, I like the song as well. I think I gave it something like 24 points. I think it's very similar to what they try to do both on the Lick It Up and Animal Eyes album. You know, we had Lick It Up, the song, very simple. Then you had Heavens on Fire on Animals, very, very simple song. And I think it tried to do something like that again. And it's maybe not as good as those two, but it's still a very strong song. And the hasn't aged well, I think. I think that's maybe a bit too much. But he used that also on Heavens on Fire, you know, that breakdown point.
Yeah.
He does the. So he was, you know, using old ideas as well, Paul. But I like the song. You get happy when you hear this song. And the video is pretty funny as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love the video. And again, I had to vote as a 14-year-old on this song.
Yeah.
I can't do it as an adult. It's dumb fun. It's got a great bass riff, musically solid, chugging along. 14-year-old of me loved this video. This was one of the songs that made me a Kiss fan. Just dumb fun. It's better than Thrills in the Night. It's a great song. The only thing I'll say as an adult is it took Desmond Child, Jean Beauvoir, and Paul Stanley to write this freaking song? You got to be kidding me. that's way too much thinking going into something so carnal.
But you know what, though? But people sometimes got to take credit for like two words, and then they want a credit. So,
Yeah, who knows? I'm happy that this song's up near the top. I would like it to have ended up a bit higher for personal preference. But in third place on 133 points, Who Wants to Be Lonely, Ken? Tell us.
Who Wants to Be Lonely? Yes, another good song. It's pretty even these last, a couple of the songs for me. Who Wants to Be Lonely? Very similar in a way to All Night in how good it is. Three lyrics, four for a melody. Pretty good melody, obviously, on this one. And taste is 3 out of 3. So I give it a 21 also, just like All Night.
Lottie?
Yeah, I gave it 27. I really enjoy Who Wants to Be Lonely. May be my favorite song on the album, actually, to be honest with you. Lyrics gave it a 5. Melody gave it a 4. Very memorable. Very catchy right away when you first hear it. Sticks with you when you listen to it. And so I ended up with 27. It's a really well done song. Paul sounds excellent on the song, and so does the whole band. So 27, great song.
The girl who told Aerosmith to call the song Ragdoll, I think that was Holly Knight, actually. Mark, to quote Ken, you call this perfect.
Yeah, it is perfect. I mean, of all the songs on the album, can you really doubt this one to be a perfect song? I mean, you got to be checking your hearing if you don't think that. I mean, this song is perfectly written, like lyrics, melody. I mean, I remember the very first time I heard this song, that opening, that whole riff, I was like, wow, and the guitar tone is perfect. A more better Marshall guitar sound you will not hear than that. I mean, what a great production that whole song is. Everything is just fantastic on this song. I mean, I could go on for days about this song, but I mean, I want to keep it short. Great, great, great song.
Daniel?
I think also
Max is getting nervous out there.
it's a great song. I gave it 27 points. I do think they dropped the ball somewhat on the video, because when I listen to this one, it's sort of a sad song, sort of, you know, downhearted or a blue song. But in the video, aren't there a lot of, you know, scantily clad women running around?
It's mainly him in the hallway dancing around with no guitar.
I might be, you know, mixing them up the All Night.
You're not grading the video. You're grading
but I'm just. This should be like a sort of a sad video. I don't recall the video was very sad, because this is someone who is missing someone or has lost a love or something. And as a song, it works well, and the lyrics are very, very well written. So 27 points. It's a great song.
I like the video because you can be lonely in a room of scantily clad women.
Don't go there.
You could be very, very lonely. It's a great song, but it's not a million to one or I Still Love You, Mark. So take that. Melody, wrong. It's gorgeous. It's overlooked. It's underappreciated. I love the yearning in Paul's vocal. Great bass again on this, but there's one thing. When Paul rips through one lyric, there's a quivering that comes into his vocal that I just find just incredibly appealing for how good a singer he was in this period. I mean, he was on fire. Literally. Again, a great song. I love this video. It's the third of them, obviously, and solidifies my experience as a Kiss fan. So we'll say no more. We're into the top two, so you're going to know what the winner is after this next one. So without further ado, on 135 points in second place, King of the Mountain. Ken?
Yeah, King of the Mountain was a great kickoff song for the album. I think definitely positive lyrics on that one, too. I always, when the King of the Mountain comes on, it always reminds me when I was a kid and we played King of the Mountain and you do that stuff. Or I remember on snow, big mounds of snow, and one person would be trying to get up there and we call it King of the Mountain. And you throw the other person down, that kind of stuff. But anyway, lyrics are good. 4 out of 5. Good, really good melody. Taste. I like it. It's a 21 for me. Really good song.
Love the comments, Justin, Jeff, Max, AB. Oh, great stuff. Lonnie, King of the Mountain.
Lyrics, I gave King of the Mountain for lyrics, I gave it a 5. I love the lyrics for King of the Mountain. Super motivational, super positive. I love it. So, melody, I gave it a 3. You know, taste, I gave it a 3. Ended up with 24 for it. Really enjoyed the song. It's one of my favorites on the album. It's, I wonder, I guess we'll find out how close it was to being number one, but it's so we can find out for the commenters that are a little banty right now.
Banty roosters, right?
Banty roosters, right.
Banty roosters. Mark.
Yeah, another perfect score for me. I mean, this song, one, it goes into that category of greatest openers tracks of all time. It's in there with a bunch of other songs that I'm sure we could talk about, but this is a great opening track to an album. Fantastic drumming by Eric Carr. Again, I'm glad that they showcased him a lot on these kinds of songs because he definitely deserved it. He was just the fire that they needed in this band at that time. And Bruce Kulick, what a great album for him to start his career with. You know, like the playing on here is so fantastic. The leads on here, I mean, the guy got to do a Hot Licks guitar instructional video just after doing this record. I mean, the licks on here are great. I mean, the opening riff that they teach you in there is the King of the Mountain solo break on there. So great stuff, great playing. Writing is great. Everything 5 out of 5 for me, 3 out of 3. It is honestly one of the greatest songs I think they did. And I mean, it could have been either or number one for me. I wouldn't have had any issue.
Yeah, we see some MVP suggestions in the comments at the moment. And it's an interesting one to separate those. But we'll have to try at the end. Daniel, King of the Mountain.
Yeah, great points from the panel. Nothing much to add to that, but I do have to stress that Bruce Kulick and Eric Singer was given a chance on this album. You let the replacement drummer open up the album. I think that's pretty cool. And you let the new guitar player write the song that you opened the album with. I mean, that just tells you that Kiss was a band once again. Mm-hmm. After years of trouble with Mark St. John and Vinnie Vincent, finally, all the pieces, you know, fell into place and they were a band once again. And you can hear it on the first song, King of the Mountain. 30 points from me.
Yeah, for me, to quote Ken and I guess Mark today, perfect. Absolutely a perfect song.
Again,
Bruce shines on this song without any doubt. Eric Carr absolutely shines on this song. Again, this sets the tone for the album, and this absolutely sets it up. This is another one that got performed live very briefly. So let's go to the audio tape.
I tell you, if you put your record on, you're going to hear something that starts like this.
Yeah. the show. I can't just sit there and listen. Did I say Eric Singer?
No, I think Daniel said it.
I meant, Daniel. Of course, I meant Eric Carr. Don't you get it out there? We've been doing this for 10 years. Of course, I know when Eric Carr joined the band and when Eric Singer joined the band. God damn.
Okay, good. It wasn't Jesus. Me. That's all I care about. Wasn't me. I can't get blamed. All right, so that's King of the Mountain from Little Rock. I think that sounds fantastic. But I don't understand why they had to cut some songs. But then again, that just happens when they're performing live. Obviously, number one on 141 points is Tears Are Falling. And Ken?
Yeah, great song. Though the lyrics, you know, they're not perfect lyrics. Still 3 out of 5 there. they're not perfect.
Oh my God.
Come on. There's no exceptional kind Jesus of thing guy. That makes it stand out lyric-wise other than any other Kiss song.
And again, really. you like Gene's song, so I got to give that.
It doesn't mean I like his lyrics either. I know his lyrics are, you know, not great. So I'm not going to give a 5 on lyrics because it's not the best lyrics I've ever heard. Melody, yes, definitely. 5 out of 5. And I like this type of song. It's a simple woven song, kind of like, you know, Heaven's on Fire, Lick It Up. Those type of songs are really well written, simple songs that are just very catchy and memorable. So is there a reason it was a hit and a reason it was the first single? So I still remember Tears Are Falling on the radio. I didn't even know the album was coming out yet, maybe. And I heard the song first on the radio without knowing what it was. And I had to do a double take. I was like, this sounds... what is this? It sounds a little bit, you know, like Kiss. And then it's like, wait a minute. And the more I heard, it's like, oh, okay, that's Paul. I know that's Paul. So, yeah, it was a big deal at the time. That was a really good song for them. So, it's not perfect. But it's really, really, really good. So,
it's all right, Ken. Nobody's perfect.
24. Nobody's perfect. That's an air song.
Bonnie.
I ended up with 27 for this one. You know, really, really great, really strong song. Lyrics are 5. I mean, it's lyric wise, the song is perfect. I think Paul's lyrics are fantastic, and the melody, I just knocked it just a little bit for a 4 for the melody, because I couldn't give it 30, just because I couldn't give it 30. I was a little more, you know, just a little more strict with what I was going to give it. So their melody, I gave it a 4. Taste 3. Really enjoyed the song. Ended up with 27. Great song, just fantastic Kiss song.
Mark, as a guitarist, what do you think about Bruce's solo on this song? Before you have your say on it,
it's stellar. I mean, all you need to know is that Paul Stanley gave him almost like 2 minutes worth of time himself to play a guitar solo, which is just unbelievable that, you know, he got that much time at that earliest stage in his Kiss career to do that. And it's a fantastic solo, well written, well constructed. The harmonies are really well done in it. Fantastic. To me, it's perfect. The perfect 30. Lyrics are brilliant. All the parts in there are good. Everything fits, and everything has a proper place in it. The solo, even as long as the solo is, it doesn't feel that way when you listen to it. This song is really great and well constructed.
Yeah, just the execution is absolutely incredible in the technique. Daniel. Should we tell him he's muted?
Daniel. Is he muted now? Daniel. Oh, my gosh. Oh, no.
Oh, no, I did. I can. Sorry about that. nobody's perfect. I think it's a great song. I have to agree with what the other guys in the panel said. Great points there. What can I add to the discussion? Well, I think I want to highlight the fact that it's Paul Stanley who is the only songwriter on this song. That's not very common during the 80s. I think it's one of the few times, actually. And that great solo from Bruce Kulick, we've been told that Paul Stanley sort of coached him through that, sang it for him, and Bruce Kulick sort of, you know, played what Paul was singing. So Paul Stanley is all over this track, and it makes you see that he still had it by himself. he might not have needed that many co-writers that he leaned on for the rest of his career, really, until the final albums. So I think that's a cool fact, that it's only Paul Stanley on this song, and I think he plays the bass as well. I've read somewhere.
He does.
So
yeah.
So what a cool Paul Stanley song, and I gave it 30 points.
The song's perfection in terms of craft and execution. I think one of the things that I'm interested in is when I spoke with Phil Ashley about Paul demoing this song and it being recorded, they actually did a version apparently that was heavy on keyboards. I would love to hear that on a deluxe treatment or even expanded version of that. So they didn't do any of the 12-inch mixes or anything like that, but that would be really interesting. You know, that it's its old Paul Stanley composition. This speaks to how great he was. But it's so perfectly crafted. It's one of those songs. I'm really happy that I got to see it done live, albeit at the KISS residency in 2014. I'll still take that as a happy memory for my personal history. Let's wrap up the conversation with some conversation about the tour. You know, I played some songs that were performed and dropped during the Asylum tour in 1985-86. Let's take a moment just to celebrate Eric Carr a little bit more. God, it's like a farewell. Sorry, gone but not forgotten.
Yeah.
And it's Eric Carr. You want more? We've got an off the soundboard, an official one now from that tour. Go out and get it if you missed it. It's well worth having. Let's talk about songs that potentially should have been performed during the tour, Lonnie. Any that you think would have been great or would have worked in place of the four that were tried that we know about?
Well, I wish King of the Mountain would have gotten a better. I wish I would have played it longer than what they did. I wish it would have stuck around. You know, it's such a good song. I think it deserved a better treatment. And I also think Love's a Deadly Weapon would have been fun too. It's so fast though. I don't know how it would have translated live, but those are the two for me. Like, I really like Love's a Deadly Weapon, but I don't know how it would translate. It's so fast and just so, you know, just bam, bam, bam. But I came to the Mountain, I thought, deserved better treatment and should have gotten a longer staying power.
Ken, what about you? Which Gene song would you insist on being performed?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know how Trial by Fire would go over on it. I don't know. I'm with Lonnie, kind of Love's a Deadly Weapon would have been probably pretty darn cool live. So would have fired up the crowd, I think. So I'll go with that one.
Mark?
Yeah, I think King of the Mountain should have been given more of a chance. I mean, I one of the things about Kiss I find sort of strange is that they drop songs out of the set very quickly. I mean, and sometimes these songs need to be played a little bit longer just to get the feel of them, to get comfortable with them. You know, sometimes it's almost like they get jinxed from it. Like something might go wrong, maybe a mic cut out or something happened. They missed the lines and then they're spooked to play it again. You know what I mean? I've seen lots of bands who do that. You know, they're like, oh, we fucked it up. We can't do this song live. You know, so I think it deserved more of a chance live. That's the main song, I think.
Yeah, King of the Mountain, hearing the girl in the audience screaming, King of the Mountain, so she knows what's, you know, kind of coming, is very cool to kind of check that out. So I think I would have liked to have had a Gene song in there, and I don't know whether it's just being revisionist now and saying Secretly Cruel would do better than Any Way You Slice It, because Any Way You Slice It isn't that terrible. I mean, it's better than, you know, Betrayed was on a later tour, so... Yeah. There we go. Daniel, what song would you have liked to have heard live from this album?
I think any Gene song would have worked pretty cool. Any Way You Slice It, like the up-tempo song it is, would be great. Love's a Deadly Weapon, I think, would have worked well. And, of course, King of the Mountain. More King of the Mountain. I would like to hear them play it on the Revenge tour as well. Would have worked great on that tour as well.
Yep. And any of these songs. That's our refocused for Kiss Asylum, the album that made me a fan. Let's just recap the countdown. Radar for Love in 10th place. In 9th, I'm Alive. In 8th, Love's a Deadly Weapon. 7th, Any Way You Slice It. Secretly Cruel, Trial by Fire. In 4th, All Night. 3rd place, Who Wants to Be Lonely. In 2nd place, King of the Mountain. And this panel's favorite song from Kiss Asylum may not be yours, but your opinion is just as valid as ours. Tears Are Falling. It's been a great episode, guys. You know, Daniel, thank you for harassing me to prepare some of that multimedia, because it's really, no, I think it adds to the show to give context to Asylum in 1985, 86, the songs that they were performing, the demos, give a little bit of a view into the album. And I didn't really need that much cajoling to do it for Asylum. I love this album. This is our last refocused episode of the year, unless we do a New Year's episode where we try desperately to celebrate the Millennium Concert. Yeah, that's going to be a tough sell, but, you know, there we go. But for now, you know, what are your favorite songs from Kiss Asylum? How has the album aged for you as it celebrates in this past week its 40th anniversary? Is it something that you still go back to and listen, or have your taste changed since you were a teenager? There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. This was episode 600. So there we go. Another milestone. And what a great, to me, it's almost like a bookend, you know, because Asylum is the beginning of my, you know, Kiss fandom. And here we are celebrating it on episode 600, closer to the end. All right, that's it for this week. We shall be back. Hopefully there'll be some news. We're all hoping for some news about many different topics. Yeah, and if you happen to be a Vegas resident in a particular zip code, you can do a staycation and get a discounted ticket to attend the Kiss Cruise in Las Vegas. So do check out Kiss Online for the latest official news about that, or maybe it's on their socials. I don't know now if they even bother with the website, but there we are. But for now, thanks for joining us. And from Lonnie, from Ken, Mark, Daniel, and myself, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you for spending time listening to the Kiss FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the message board and discuss the topics we've broadcast today. Don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you've listened to this show, and a like would very much be appreciated. We hope you'll join us again, but until then, remember, life's a radio. Turn it up to 10.